Welcome to your go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming.
Wait for it.
Anime.
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino? Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it. This is the Wait For It Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Wait For It Podcast. I am your co-host, Phil Smith, aka Phil the Filipino. And joining me as always is your other co-host, Mr. Eric Almighty. And Eric, it is that time again. It is the bonus episode for April 2024. And just like all of our other series that we committed to and said, you know, this is going to be the core of the Way Forward podcast. What did I miss in this new iteration? Has just been so much fun. And we literally just take it as an opportunity to hang out with our friends, talk about some pop culture stuff, and then ultimately play a game that gets everybody angry at me for. So that is going to be no different today. And I'm excited to have some of our oldest podcasting friends here today join us, Eric. And I think it's and I know it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, and getting to obviously look back at the month of April, everything that happens. Phil, when we did this the first time, we realized very quickly we never run out of content with this particular series. There's always something going on. By the time this episode releases, we probably missed like the biggest news in the world. So it's always something that you can reference back to. And I'm very excited to introduce our guests. We have Jay and Eli from Super Bracket Bros. You probably never heard of them if you've heard our podcast. We never talk about them. So Jay, Eli, welcome in. And are you guys ready to reminisce on the month of April?
Oh, yeah. April, classically, is my favorite month of all time, of course. So I'm more than happy to come out.
Oh, Phil, did you plan this?
I did. It all lined up perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Eli, are you doing excited to not only reminisce, but also play this amazing game that I put a lot of work into that I think you might do very well in?
I am beyond excited. Honestly, I'm just going to go silent for the entire whole episode until we start doing the game. So it was good seeing everybody. I hope you enjoy this. I'll see you guys in a bit.
Didn't even bring a story. Just wait for Jeopardy.
Phil, I did just want to say that I do relate to you creating a game for your podcasting friends, then putting it on a podcast, and then them all hating it and having a terrible time. So I just want to let you know. I feel you.
Eric did that to me earlier today where he completely one-sided a game that we played with.
I called it down the middle.
He definitely did not. And you can listen to that episode right now because it's out this past Wednesday where I feel like the Russian judge had a fix in, actually Jontay Porter had some betting in, and he won himself $1.1 million off of DraftKings or something, because that's how I felt.
Incredible.
Definitely take the under. Whenever I play a game that Eric has put together, bet the under on me. I'm just gonna let you guys know right now, the fix is in.
You're just really bad at games.
You're going to get contact by the podcast commissioner.
Yeah, exactly. The gaming commissioner, the podcast gaming commissioner of Buzzsprout. Whoever that is. The Buzzsprout gaming commissioner.
The podcast gambling controversy of 2024.
Yeah, I know what you're going to talk about in the May edition. Phil gets banned from podcasting, period.
You guys tried to guess what the categories are going to be for Jeopardy in May. That's what the big line. That's what it's going to be.
No, I gave Phil $100 to just have lighthouse questions.
How many lighthouse puns can I come up with for categories for Jeopardy?
I'll take Hark for $500.
The answer is Hark for all five. Hark.
There's just different amount of exclamation points. So you have to say Hark at the right exclamation point tenor, to be able to get the points. I think that's it.
Tone was a little soft there, Eric. I'm going to have to deduct you $300.
You didn't begin the answer with Hark.
Oh boy. Well, gives you guys an idea of how this is going to go this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun, but if for some reason you have never heard of Super Bracket Bros, Jay, you guys just wrapped up your most ambitious season yet, and you know that's why I wanted to give you some time to step away from podcasting for a bit before bringing you back in here, because what you guys did was an incredible undertaking, and we had a lot of fun doing it and learning. Eric, I think, maybe irritated people a little bit more than I did because I was a one and done. But I want you to reminisce and talk about the most recent season, about how that goes, and then maybe, you know, what's in the future for Super Bracket Bros as well.
Sure thing. So Super Bracket Bros Season 6, normally our podcast, we talk about fictional characters from different universes fighting each other, and we talk about what would happen should they meet. But this season, we decided to switch things up. We turned all our characters into character sheets. And Phil and Eric were both on the season. They got to man characters that we made sheets for in a system called the General Universal Role-Playing System, aka GURPS. And it was 1v1 battles against other content creators in our sphere of content creation. It was a lot of fun. We did it. We did the whole bracket. The whole thing's recorded. I'm halfway through editing it. the death of Super Bracket Bros Season 6 has been greatly exaggerated. It is still being produced, just at a slower rate. I burned myself out a little bit making Season 6. We're taking our time with the edits now. But we're halfway through Season 6. The next episode that's going to come out will feature Emily Bateman and Benjamin from Affable Chat, and then the one after that will feature Mr. Eric Almighty himself and Andrew from Your Friendly Neighborhood Gamers. And so it's been a lot of fun to put together. It's been a lot of work to put together, but I'm happy to have had you guys on. And if that's something that you're interested in, now's a great time to catch up on the first 4 episodes of Season 6 before I finally get around to editing the rest of it.
And listen, no spoilers, but I do want it to be known, the tagline for the episode I'm on, I believe you guys were calling it the greatest upset in Super Bracket Bros history. So just...
Interesting.
What is that?
I don't think... Did that originate with us, Eli? I think someone else might have uttered that first.
I see Eric has his phone out and it's Venmoing you $20 right now.
I keep sending it, and no responses.
Send hundreds of dollars at this point.
And the comment just says motto ?
Motto ? Please?
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 Eric, a lauded movie on the Wait For It podcast, Eric is portraying Puss in Boots himself on the show, which has been every bit spectacular as you can imagine. So please definitely tune in for Eric's episode. His first episode against Inosuke from Demon Slayer was some of the best podcasting I've ever been a part of, so definitely, please.
The longest episode in Super Bracket Bros history. I'm just breaking records over there. So and Phil can't
you say
get away.
That, and then but you say that, but you drove Jay to take an extended break. I just want to let you know.
Honestly, I was silently reflecting that I did break the holiday special. And then I did possibly break Season 6. So I do feel, if I'm not invited on, I do feel like that might be warranted. Also, I do believe I have the most guest spots currently on Super Bracket Bros. So again, a lot of records broken, but I may never be on there again. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Well,
my character just took the most amount of abuse not related to my opponent ever. So
Choto Todoroki had a rough go of it, to say
rough
the
childhood,
least.
Childhood, rough season 6.
Yeah.
It's a rough time.
I will say, though, my favorite part that I contributed to was playing Endeavor, your dad.
That was fantastic.
That was amazing.
No, if we go back, it will just be the Endeavor and Todoroki GURP show on Super Mario Bros.
With an occasional Gingy and no Titan. No Titan at all.
You want to know what that inside joke means? Hey, just tune in to Super Mario Bros.
There you go. All of that will be in the show notes of this episode. You can find everything that you need. So, but yeah, Jay, like you said, it's still ongoing. But again, putting all that work together, man, as podcasters ourselves, we know how much that takes. Except for Eli, which is like the meme where it's like, not to remember, if you know you used to be, and he's just like driving down the road, like having a good time. We're over here sweating.
I am Jay's just wiping sweat, just like, oh my god, this is
No, I'm definitely a tuxedo mask from Sailor Moon. Like, I've saved the day, but you've done nothing, and I'm away.
No, Eli's got the sweet role, man. He's got podcast husband role down. He's killed
podcast
it.
Husband.
Podcast trophy husband. Wow. There you go. I'll have
doing
to
great, buddy.
Yeah, that's going to be for sure season 7 intro, I think.
There you
that's,
go.
That sounds good. I like
you
that.
Can have that for free. That for free.
So generous. So generous.
I was going to write that down to my
I'll
titles.
Send you the Venmo request. Yeah. Send me that $20 Eric just sent me.
Jake's just raking up that IP.
Oh, boy. But the purpose of this episode, 15 minutes in, is we talk about pop culture stories from the previous month, which we are going to do. And Eric, in order to decide the order in which we talk about these pop culture stories, something very important must happen. And I'll let you go over that with our guests, as well as any of the listeners and or viewers. I'm saying this a little bit late in the episode. I always forget to say it in the beginning. This is, while it is on audio form, obviously on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, this is definitely one of the best episodes to watch on our YouTube page, just because of all the stuff that we share video-wise and because of the game. But do that with whatever you will. But Eric, please let our guests know how the most important part of this episode goes.
Yes, well, again, we the aforementioned destruction of the holiday special did happen with a wheel, but that was a real wheel. This time we have a virtual wheel, and that wheel will have all of our... I mean, I can get the actual wheel.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
But it will have all of our names on it, and we will count down. We'll do 3, 2, 1, and in that same cadence, we will then say, spin that wheel. Now, why am I giving you these instructions? Well, because every single episode, it is a struggle. It is a struggle. But I am confident that the two of you remember how the holiday special went down, and I think we're going to do really well. And I know you guys are buying into it, so that's really also important.
Yeah. One of them is.
No. You both look enthusiastic.
I don't know about
well,
that.
Well, you see, last time you ruined my life with that wheel, and now I'm going to ruin your life with that wheel.
What do you mean?
I have to edit it. What about me?
How can you ruin a life with a wheel? Wheel makes everything better.
All right.
You ready, Phil?
Let's do this.
Now, are you going to share your sound this time? And,
no.
And, okay, cool.
I stopped. It is not sharing this time around. At least I think I unclicked it. Now you have me second guessing. So.
No, okay, well, we're just going to go with it. So if you guys hear a loud applause in your ears, apologies. But right, here we go.
All right.
All right. Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah, so I say down. 3, 2, 1, right?
No.
Oh.
3, 2, 1. Spin dry run. That.
No, wait.
No, we're not there yet.
Oh,
we're
going to do a quick Eli said it, though.
No. I know you're both.
He hopped on before me, so I thought
excited.
Maybe
I got
he
excited.
Was actually.
I got
sorry.
Start over. Start over.
Sorry,
I got excited.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to just count down. I'm going to count down. 3, 2, 1. You guys are going to be silent during this time, by the way. So I'm going to count down
well,
three.
Well, you weren't specific about that before, so.
Well, now I'm being more specific. I'm trying my best.
I'm just saying, you're very upset about it, and I don't think you should be, because you weren't.
I'm having to be a little microaggressive here, yes.
I don't.
I know. So you guys are going to stay silent, and I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. And after I say one, we will then collectively, as a unit, as a Super Bracket Bros universe, say in that same cadence, spin that wheel.
Spin
okay?
the wheel. Okay.
That wheel, not the wheel.
What did I say? Specific.
You said what? The.
Oh, okay.
Spin that.
Sorry.
You got to spin that wheel.
You know what's funny is, like, this is my thing, but Eric has the most amount of work when it comes to this.
All the time, dude. And this is the longest explanation.
I put together Jeopardy, and then I'm like, all right.
I'm going to make a commitment to create a clip that we just play on future episodes.
Yeah, please watch this presentation.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Wait For It podcast. Here's the instructions for the wheel.
Like we're in a queue for a fucking Universal line.
So good.
I'm standing at the gas station pumping my gas, and an ad pops up. It's Eric telling me how to
Eric
spin
here.
The wheel.
Don't forget to use your Shell rewards card, and this is how you spin the wheel.
All right. We're going to do this, God. And then we're going to get to our first story.
Sure.
So, we're going to count down. 3, 2, 1.
Spin
that
wheel. It's fine. Can you guys hear the wheel or no?
No, we're good. We're good.
No. Oh,
I think we should probably run it back. Woo. We couldn't hear it. So.
Well, they're going to have more opportunities, so it's okay.
Okay.
That's probably for the best.
All right, Eli, you were first. What did we miss in April 2024?
Yeah, so I've been on a music listening binge. I'm catching up with a lot of albums from this year and previous year. One of the albums I missed out on came out technically last month in March. And it is probably the biggest album in the world currently, but I am what you might call hipster, annoying hipster who doesn't listen to a lot of pop music, but I finally sat down and listened to this. It was wonderful. It's, Beyonce, Cowboy Carter. I sat down and listened to this hour and 15 minute or 17 minute, whatever album. I'm joking. It's a really great album, but it did not need to be that long. Beyonce, please. Next time, I don't need something this massive. I sat down and listened to it completely. I was keeping track of it because obviously the big story is Beyonce is doing country, and I thought that was kind of gimmicky, so I kind of brushed it off. But when the album came out, I just remember seeing, you know, all the big music publications saying how awesome it is, and then seeing like all the like indie, like the hipster forums I go to also saying that it was incredible. So I was like, okay, I have to see what all the buzz is about. And yeah, I sat down, listened to it, and it's as good as advertised. It was wonderful. She does such an incredible job of blending. I mean, it is ostensibly a country album, but there's just so much to it. There's so much like hip hop, even like subcategories like trap, that gets incorporated in that. There's blues, funk, just like even like opera music at one point, and it all just blends so well together that it really is it is a wonderful listening experience. Even though I kind of like give it crap for being so long, it does almost feel like an odyssey, like you're going through Beyonce's like journey, which both within the actual album but also like in terms of meta narrative, because this is the part two of a trilogy, the first album being Renaissance, which came out I think last year, which I need to go listen to, so now I need to just get caught up on the narrative. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have given it a listen to, but I loved it. I thought it was incredible, and it was such a treat seeing, you know, Dolly Parton on it, and Willie Nelson has a few skits, you know, but also learning about other black women in country music that Beyonce sort of shouts off, like Linda Martell, who was, I believe, the first black woman to ever open for the Grand Ole Opry, which was something I didn't know about, which I should have known about, and I'm happy Beyonce was able to use her platform to teach that. So, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I could do a whole like dissertation on it, but I won't bore you guys with that.
No, well, one thing Beyonce does not do is half-ass anything. And I know when when the initial song came out, obviously there's going to be detractors for the lame reason. You know, when there's going to be a crossover into a genre of music that it has come from all different types of people in terms of background. And I have never really been the biggest Beyonce fan because I don't necessarily consider myself, I think kind of like you, Eli, I wasn't really her demographic. But whenever I come across a Beyonce project, I always know that she's going to put her all into it. And I haven't listened to all of this. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it is 25 tracks in an hour, 27 tracks and an over almost an hour and a half long. But what I've come across, I very much enjoy. My sister played Daughter in the car like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, this is a great song. This is really, really good. Obviously, whenever you see Dolly Parton, our president, show up in anything, it's going to be good. So,
my jaw dropped when I listened to Beyonce's cover of Jolene, because like the original song is Dolly Parton pleading to Jolene to not steal her man. Beyonce takes her version and says, it's on site, Jolene, if you
dare
do anything.
You, Jolene. We're going to fight Jolene.
Which is so awesome. I love that Beyonce did her own thing with that. But my favorite cover was the second song, which was the Blackbird cover, which is one of my favorite Beatles song. I jumped out of my chair. I was just like, holy shit. And she did a great arrangement of that. And there's all just all these little, like, so many, like, interpolations and like 16 carriages is a reference to 16 tons, a famous old country song. There's a these boots were made for walking sample thrown in there. There was so many other ones that Good Vibrations by Beach Boys was in there. I was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio meme of like pointing. It's just like, I know that. And like you said, Beyonce didn't half-ass anything. She went all in, and I thought that was. That was awesome. I thought this album was great. It definitely deserves all the flowers it's been getting.
Yeah, definitely put a lot of work into it. Jay, have you gotten around to any Cowboy Carter in your rotation?
No, Eli told me he was going to talk about this a week ago, and I still did not prepare. This has not entered my rotation. My rotation has staunchly remained the Guardians of the Galaxy playlist, which is the only thing I listen to.
So, Jay, you're telling me your story this for this month was not the Taylor Swift album that just came out?
No. I can assure you that I could probably do some research real quick. I'm good at BSing, I could probably.
Can you tell me what these lyrics meant? What boyfriend was she talking about? Which one of these is Travis?
Which one is she not talking about?
Probably all of them. Yeah. Thank you, Phil, for your valuable insight. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, exactly. We're just, I mean, mind melding here. You know, so basically anything Phil says about it, I agree. So yeah, just take his word for it.
We actually collaborated on my response, so consider that also Jay's response.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want to take away from your response. Yeah.
There you go. Eric, obviously, Cowboy Carter has showed up on the playlist over the last few weeks. So, do you have any standout tracks? And again, what is your kind of level of fandom when it comes to Beyonce? Because I find myself like, again, I don't necessarily go out of my way to listen to Beyonce, but if somebody gave me tickets to like a Beyonce show, I am there. I want to see that spectacle. I want to see everything that she does when it comes to putting on a show. But again, I'm not actively seeking out her music, but Cowboy Carter has crossed over into a genre of music with country that we are fans of. So.
No, 100%. I assumed you really liked the song Jolene because for 2 weeks straight you put that on the playlist. I don't think you meant to do that. Mm. But, you know, there it is.
I told you, you either get volume of songs or you get me paying attention. You do not get both. I'll give you one or the other.
That's unfortunate.
Maybe Phil was sending you a message, Eric.
Yeah, maybe I was telling
him. I was like, all right, it's on site.
It was the Beyonce version? Are you sure I didn't do the Dolly Parton version?
You did both twice.
I did both of them.
Yeah.
To be fair, excellent songs.
So. Excellent songs. But I was like, he really likes that Jolene song. I've never heard him talk about that song.
I have started thinking about putting maybe one song in there every single week. I don't know what that song would be, but I have thought about doing that.
I'd rather you not. I haven't listened to the whole album. But I have listened to bits and pieces just like you. Beyonce is not an artist that I like actively listen to their whole album. I'm just not. Same thing with Taylor Swift. I'm just not in that realm of like, oh my God, new album dropped. I've got to listen to the whole thing. But I really appreciate the efforts. And like you mentioned, Phil, it's not half-assed. And for the most part, trying to weed through the hate, which is always going to happen, it sounds like it's being received pretty well. And I really like that big artists like Beyonce. And I think the side of the coin that I fall on is Post Malone. I love Post Malone. And he's about to be in this country aspect as well with some work he's doing. I'm super excited to see what he brings to the table. And between the two of them, those are two big stars. Phil, I think we just appreciate that country is getting some love because it gets shit on all the time. But it's a genre of music that I think we both really appreciate. And especially this new gen country, I think we like as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of the most fun country or concerts I've been to are country. So I think the thing with country, and Eli, maybe you have more a better understanding of the ins and outs of the music in general, is that country gets a lot of heat because it's called the easiest genre of music to participate in. Do you think that's true as far as the singing? I don't know if it's the singing. I don't know if it's instruments. I don't know what it is, but it does get a rap because, you know, I could sing a country album now.
Well, I was watching a YouTube video talking about like what is country music, and a guy said that it really doesn't matter what instruments you use. I mean, there's obviously the you know, guitars and everything, but he said the most important part about country, like in the most original sense, is the storytelling element of it, just the personal nature of it. Like if you go listen to like 1940s country, it's all just ballads about stories of outlaws, of loss, and like a lot of old country is like super sad and forlorn. But it was growth from people just struggling, and the music was the way for them to communicate that and to express their feelings. So whenever I see country being like super machismo, it's kind of like it's not. It's supposed to be like very emotionally driven, and coming back to Beyonce, I think that's why it's being received so well in mass by country fans, is that it is that storytelling. Like you said, the song Daughter is amazing. 16 Carriages, she just lays her upbringing in Houston, like just there for you to explore with her, and I think that's wonderful. I've never been like an expert in genres. I've always like just a album by album, artist by artist basis, but I've some of my favorite albums are from country artists because of that storytelling element. I think honestly the two best storytelling genres to me are hip-hop and country, and I think those two have a lot more similarities than people give them credit for.
No, they absolutely do. They merge together all the time. My favorite country artist being Nelly. Eric knows all about that, so
stop.
Let's play Hey Porsche. I'm putting Hey Porsche on the
that's not even a country song.
I can make the argument that Hey Porsche is country.
One last thing I want to say. I'm looking at the Wikipedia and the personnel for Cowboy Carter. It credits, I didn't know Stevie Wonder was on the album playing harmonica on Jolene, which is sick.
Well, there you go.
But also,
he didn't either. Know.
but Warren, that was oh, no, that was in bad taste.
What I said is less worse than what's on Jay's wall.
You can see right now, there's nothing.
Phil, this is the perfect wall. Crop point.
No.
But I just want to shout out the other credit. The other credit I find way funnier, Jay-Z is credited for clapping on Jolene. His instrument is clapping. Jay-Z.
Good job, baby. And then she's like, shut the hell up and go home.
Please, babe, just give me one credit. Like, okay.
Okay, fine. That way when she wins the Grammy, he gets like a partial credit.
He's just in the back waving like, that's my wife. Sorry, I should refer to Jay-Z as Beyonce's husband. That's
absolutely, that's perfect. So
was this because he said at the Grammys or whatever, he's like, y'all don't have to clap, and Beyonce was like, oh, your ass is gonna clap, all right.
Yeah. Just clap for me. It's like a warning. Right. Jolene better not talk to you. This is a message for Jolene and you.
All right. Well, good way to start it off. Eli, Cowboy Carter has been a huge part of early 2024. So solid there. Eric, you know what time it is?
I do. It's been that wheel time. The first go around was a little rough around the edges, but I am confident that this time.
I'm going to need you to break that down for me. I don't really know.
Well, there was almost. When I mean like it was a little bit rough.
Eric is so flustered.
What I mean by a little bit rough is like in every conceivable way, it was done wrong. So, like, we messed up at every turn.
Every turn? I think that's an exaggeration. I will show you what it's like to go wrong at every turn if you want. If you want that demonstrated? No.
I want us to do the opposite. We've already done that. I just want it to go well, that's all.
Well, this is just very insulting. I don't really appreciate it, so...
Okay. Well, I don't want to insult anybody.
Yeah. Do your little countdown, big man.
Phil, do you want to go somewhere else?
Maybe, yeah.
Do we have breakout rooms in here?
Yeah. I'm going to send you two into a breakout room. You guys can work this out. Maybe spin a wheel.
We're going to try this again. Better results. Going to stay positive. All right. Mm. So three, two,
spin that wheel. I did it.
Like
that was
even trying.
You guys
better land on Jay.
Yes, it landed.
Well, I don't even know why we do this, actually, Eric, because it's the same. Oh,
what?
I think I might have.
Applause.
I might have said, yeah. You know what?
Hey, it's Jay-Z. I heard Jay-Z.
You stole my joke.
That was my fault. I remember that. I just forgot to. I don't know why we were spinning the wheel anyway, because it's always the two guests and then us. So.
Which is how it should be. But we still do the wheel.
Anyway, Jay, what did we miss in April 2024?
So, have you guys heard of these things called video games? They're pretty neat. They're getting
somewhat
pretty...
familiar. I listened to this podcast about it, but it's like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. Yeah, I agree. Sony, big company in the gaming sphere, probably not familiar, but they filed an interesting patent recently for a quote-unquote autoplay game mode. And this autoplay game mode is essentially is AI powered, and it is going to be a feature, presumably, assuming they continue down this path with this patent, that will be able to, based off of PSN data, so just don't know what that means or where that comes from, presumably by other players playing the game, but you can have the AI take over for you in a game at any given time. The examples they give are if you run into a very difficult part of the game, you can just turn on the AI and it'll play the game for you for a little while. Other examples that have been thrown out are just turn the AI on and let them play the entire game for you, which is theoretically also possible under this patent. But I thought this was interesting. One, it seems like this is possible without AI. It seems like you could just have like some sort of program of like someone playing that section of the game and complete it. I'm not really sure how that factors in. It feels like AI is just sort of the keyword, the SEO, fun word that they decided to throw in here. But you know, this trained model is going to be able to, you know, complete parts of games for you. You know, there's questions about like achievements and things like that. I don't really care about things like that, but I do think it's interesting. Sort of having this. This technology being implemented in this way, it seems like there's better uses maybe for AI. The other example that was given that I thought was interesting is that PlayStation gamers would not need to play grindy or repetitive sections of games, which I also, I mean, that sounds on the surface like something that I would appreciate, but then like if I'm not playing half of the RPG that I bought, then it doesn't feel like a good RPG, you know, like if I'm grinding away at it. I brought this just because I thought it was like an interesting talking point, like video games and AI, but also like this specific feature seems dumb to me, like on surface level, but I was wondering if you guys had a different perspective on it, because I'm open to that as well.
Yeah, Eric, let's throw it to you first. Are you going to use this autoplay to help you get through Baldur's Gate?
No, I'm having a great time. I'm being told that I'm having the most unique, frustrating, ridiculous gameplay, like linear experience as possible. The words that have been used are, I've never seen this ever, and things of that nature.
I've never had an interaction with this character and had that happen before, is what was said last night.
That was another one. So it's going. I think I'm having a great time. I couldn't imagine setting up AI to do it for me and feel accomplished. You know, this specifically feels like, and this is why what I love about gaming, at least the opinions somewhat kind of matter, because you had to play it. Like, if you think it's hard, that's fine. You actually played it to come to that conclusion. But this is the equivalent of watching a movie or a show and being on your phone half the fucking time. And Phil knows how I feel about this. So I can only imagine these toxic gamers that are barely paying attention to the game and being like, oh, that's shit. Imagine The Last of Us Part 2 and the uproar there. And I didn't even have to play the game, so I couldn't emotionally connect to it. And I just tuned out. That's what we're talking about here. I think it's extremely bad for the entire gaming community if that was to happen. On a smaller scale, I could see how it's beneficial. Jay, I'm assuming the first thing you thought of is some of those puzzles in God of War when we talked about it, right?
I did.
You might buy me there.
Yeah, you might be able to pop it in for one of those. Yeah, and I was thinking like
AI step in. Okay.
Phil's walking away from the TV. He's changing the. He's watching TV.
We literally go to the. We do the review back in time when we fast forward, and he's like, "Yeah, the game was fun. That Atreus part though didn't enjoy. Didn't
recommend. Tell you a thing about it."
Just ask him the most surface level question, like, "What is one? Just name one character Atreus interacted with."
While somebody else is going, I'm going to ask ChatGPT to sum up the Atreus sections in God of War.
Oh, my God. Eli, what do you think about that whole thing? Again, just kind of talking about the AI in gaming.
AI is... I'm still trying to suss out AI within the larger just world, and I'm curious... Because whenever I hear companies talking about developing AI, I always feel like there's some ulterior motive. So I'm curious what Sony's end game for this is, because obviously players will benefit from it. But I feel like this feels like a particular niche that I feel like there is another use for that we don't know yet, that Sony is interested in like testing. On the surface level, I mean, I just think it's like... I think it's interesting. I think of, like, you know, Super Mario 3D World, when you die enough, they give you, like, super power-ups that make, you know, that let you do it. So I can imagine something similar, because some people obviously are working, you know, they get home, they're tired, and they don't... A part of the game is just grueling, and they don't want to go through it. I can see that being super nice to just, like, I just want to get through this part to play the rest of the game. Something like that. Or like you said, if there's like a super grindy part of an MMO or something, just pop on that AI, because like that would be super nice.
Could you imagine just an MMO just eventually is just filled with people that have turned on autoplay? Just a self-contained AI world.
But like I remember my cousin was showing me, he had one of those auto battlers on his phone. It was like he had to tap something, and he had a program that would auto tap it, and I'm like, then why are you doing it? He's like, I don't know, I think it's neat. So yeah, the future of AI, I'm going back and forth of just like Jay said, this sounds like it's dumb, but there's always the possibility of something could come out of this that I feel like would be greatly beneficial. So long as no, you know, dev jobs are getting axed or anything like that, I don't really have a particular issue. So what Jay is describing sounds only beneficial to players, then I'm all for it.
Here's something that I think maybe would be a little worrisome, and it comes to content creators. So if there is a game that I don't want to play but I am interested in, I'll go to YouTube, I'll watch the Rad Brad or somebody. Like, what if, I guess this would still entail you purchasing the game, so that's still $70, but like, now somebody is going to maybe put this on autoplay and watch themselves as opposed to going to YouTube. You know, maybe that's an obscure concern. I'm not 100% sure, but I know that I like going to certain content creators because of the, you know, their
their feedback or whatever, you know, their banter while they're playing the game. So maybe that's a little bit of a concern. But yeah, it is strange. I mean, Jay, like you said, do you really need this for games? Because it's already in like sports games. I can play half of a game of 2K and switch it to CPU and they'll finish the game for me.
Right.
So yeah. That's already a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Eli is saying, like, you know, what is the sinister thing behind this? That it's sort of that like got my brain going.
Corporation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking about like, well, you know, the thing that really is interesting to me is this line. It says Sony's technology would use an AI powered model to learn how to play games using information from cloud based services like PSN. That line is like, how is it going to learn? Like, what is it? I mean, like, I already know, like, they can take a ton of information. Like, they, like, you know, the developers, Insomniac, knows where everyone dies in Spider-Man. And so, like, they know, like, what parts were hard for people, what parts were frustrating points, you know, like, so, like, they can, like, suss out that information, but with statistics, I feel like. But I'm wondering if this AI power is going to go, like, even further, because if it's going to play the game for you, then it has to know, you know, like deeper mechanics about how to actually, like, you know, play a single player game versus like a multiplayer game like 2K or Madden or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
And the example you're giving with Insomniac is you were talking about a contained data, like the director in Left 4 Dead. That's a contained thing. We're mm-hmm. talking about a grand scale AI watching something to figure out how to play these games. So
I'm almost curious because, like, in video games, developers will release betas and early access as almost like a stress test to see, because like their QA teams only have so much time, but giving it to the broader public, they can like see what the game actually does in the hands of people not on the team. And I wonder if this AI program will basically simulate player behavior to allow them to like find the bugs, to find the exploitable stuff, yeah. to stuff like that. Because, yeah. I mean, that, like, I'm still going on, like, what is the practical purpose for Sony for this? Because it just feels so niche that I'm just, yeah, like, Mr. Sony has his hands steepled. Like, he's doing the Gendo pose
Neil Druckmann from is just rubbing his hands like, yeah. How can I release The Last of Us Part 1 again?
The Last of AI.
The Last of Us Part 1, the movie. Buy the disc, pop it in your PS5, and it'll play the game for you. $49.99.
It's an AI playing the game. You can't actually control the game. No, you can only control the AI.
Exactly. Yeah.
And guys, this is just the first part of it, because you already know where this is going to go. We start by playing with the AI, and then the AI gets voice chat. And, you know, you got a Helldivers AI, and he's pretty chill, you know, fighting for democracy. But then you get that Call of Duty AI. That's,
and then all of a sudden it looks like Jay's different. Wall.
You can't keep referencing. You can't keep referencing.
Are you making notes? Are you taking notes?
Mark? I gotta mark. I'll mark the clip there.
Mark
clip.
It's so funny, Jay. If you did not move those signs, there would be none of these jokes.
I feel like we would have noticed it eventually.
Yeah, I think it would have come up eventually. And I would prefer these jokes versus like suddenly Phil just like stops.
What is that? Let's zoom in there.
Enhance.
Hang on, I'm going to tweet this quick.
Yeah, really quick. Yeah.
Phil but just raises the phone. What was that? Why'd you do that? What, Phil? What?
Don't worry about it. I'll handle it in post. But really interesting. And you got, like, Eli, both of you raise good concerns. Like, what is this really going to be used for? Like, you definitely have to be like the Simpsons meme with the dog detective. He's like in the shadows. He's like, what's happening here? So that's interesting. I had not seen that story. So again, Eric, love. We will never run out of stuff to talk about when it comes to this series. I definitely did not see that come across my news feed when that happened. So, all right, Eric. Back to the most important part of this.
Well, listen, the last time was really great. It was such
maybe
a
you
great
should
experience.
Encourage Jay instead.
Yeah,
of
no, I, it was such a great experience. If we could just tweak a couple things, I think we'll be right there.
Now,
right
Eric,
there.
I really, you're trying to butter me up, and I really don't appreciate it. You know, I really
I want some honest critiques here. You know, I think, like, you know, if it's just a matter of inflection or what, you know, I need direction. I need direction, Eric. Okay,
that's fair.
Acting.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I could do that. I could do that. Eli, you've been great. Jay, follow fucking directions. And we'll be good. And we'll be good to go. Easy. Easy peasy. Okie dokie.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Pretty. All right. A pretty straightforward feedback. We're gonna give everybody a moment. Then we're going to count down. A friendly reminder, Jay, because, again, honestly speaking.
I don't know why you're not telling Eli this. He didn't. I don't even think Eli said it last time at all. So,
well, Eli was in the pre-show, and you thought he created the wheel process. So he's definitely well above. Here, let me kind of give you a visual. Here's where Eli is.
You want me to make a wheel?
And here, hold on. And we're just trying to get you on equal footing. Okay? That's all.
Oh, boy.
And we're going to do that. We're going to get to the same level here after a 3, 2, 1.
Spin that wheel. Wheel. Yeah.
Jay, why are you thinking about it before you say it, though? Why are you thinking about the word before? Just say the word when you're thinking about it.
Oh, shit. I shared the sound again, so I'll. forgetting. It's a
nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
Eric, I'm not really sure why you're surprised. You admitted to ruining my podcasting career when we started. Like, you ruined season 6, you ruined the holiday special. So, I mean, I'm not really sure what you expect. I'm taking this, like, little piece of power that I have. And I'm going to break you.
I want it to be publicly known. Two things. Number one, with the holiday special, I did not want to do the wheel. I was encouraged to do the wheel, and then I just kept doing it. So half of that's my fault. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran with it. Two, I want you to know, season 6 and the holiday special, funnest time of my life. I had such a great time. Such a great time. So,
I see. Eric, you know how to deal with Jay. You got to kill him with kindness. Like, just something undercut him with those compliments.
I'm trying. He just yelled at me. How do you do this?
No, you get used to it. No!
You're supposed to be the trophy husband. This sounds very abusive.
Yeah, but when Eli gets to go on that spending spree, it all comes away. God.
How many holes have you covered up in that wall, Jay?
You know what I want you to do, Eli, is progressively as time goes on, I want there to be more copies of the lighthouse in the background of whenever you record. Just like when people buy like random films.
All these books replaced with DVDs and Blu-ray.
Just DVDs. Yeah, absolutely. Please. All right, Eric, what did we miss in April 2024?
All right, well, there's a lot going on here in the past month, so I've actually kind of got like a base story, but it can spread out to literally anything, and I'll mention a couple things that come into mind. And me and Phil both want to check this out. I plan on checking this out very, very soon because everybody is talking about X-Men 97, and the fact that the directors have come out and said they think they can really hit a slam dunk with a movie if they were given the opportunity to do that in the likes of Akira, Spider-Verse, and having that in that theater experience, they really think they can just kind of grow this property. The quote here by Chase Conley, one of the directors of X-Men 97, was, first off, it would be a slam dunk. I think it would absolutely be something the audience would want to see and we would want to be a part of. And I really think it's interesting because X-Men specifically has been very popular since it's returned, and people are saying it's like the best Marvel project in a while, if not outside of Endgame and Infinity War, ever. So whether it's X-Men 97 or another property, there are so many storytelling things that I'd love to hear. What is kind of on that level for you where you really are loving it? Right now, there's Fallout that has come out, which is fantastic. There is also, and only my parents are going to get this, Bluey. I don't know if you're on the Bluey train, but Bluey has taken over. the last few weeks on the internet. It's absolutely crazy storytelling that they're doing in that medium. All of these things are so great. And Phil, you're watching Shogun, which I think is almost done, right? So is there a show or any type of medium of film, anything at all that is kind of reaching that level? And if you are watching X-Men 97, what are your thoughts about a potential film? Jay, I'll throw it over to you for that question.
So I'm not watching X-Men. It's very much, it's on my list. I think it's one I am waiting for the season to fully be out to just to binge it, I think. But I have watched Fallout. I just finished it this morning, actually. I wrapped it up, and man, is that a good show. It's definitely one of... It's been a while since, like, a live-action show has really held on to me and, like, pulled me through with its mystery, with its action, with its characters. Like, the whole thing is just really well done. At certain points, it's sort of, like, missing, you know, something to elevate it to, like, best show ever. But, I mean, you got... Every single actor, I feel like, has given some of the best performances I've ever seen from them, including, what's Lucy, Ella Purnell, I think her name is, who does Jinx in Arcane, which is one of the best shows I've ever seen. So far, I'm really looking forward to season two, but she's the main character in Fallout, and it took me a second to, like, make the connection, but I was like, wow, this actress is doing a really good job, like, falling into insanity. I wonder why that is. Fallout is definitely a show that I'm looking forward to seeing more of. It's, you know, for being a video game adaptation, also for context, like, very casual Fallout fan as well. This isn't something that I'm a diehard fan of. I played a little bit of 3, I played a little bit of 4. Neither of which are really my jam, but I did love the universe. I thought it was really interesting, like, the characters, and it's very funny. Like, the games are very funny, and that same exact humor is in the show as well. It really just hit all the right spots, and so I'm looking forward to season 2, I think was just announced today, yesterday maybe. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what that is, and... What the future has in store for us in the Fallout universe.
Yeah, I think with Fallout, I'm currently about to enter episode 6, so I'm in the last 3 episodes, yep. And I've been enjoying the hell out of it. As a big fan of the games, Fallout 3 is one of my favorite games, like, just in general. I love that game very, very much. A lot of people love New Vegas, which I definitely have wanted to revisit. And what's crazy about Fallout, and that's why I mentioned it as one of the options, like, X-Men has really brought out a lot of love for those characters. Like, just beyond your Deadpool and Wolverine, that movie is coming out. But I think people, by the end of the year, are still going to be talking about X-Men 97. For Fallout, people that have watched the show are now wanting to play the games. One of the things that's happened this month is Fallout 76, Fallout 4... These games are seeing a resurgence in player base, and Fallout 76 specifically had a very bad launch years ago. So the fact that it's getting resurgence after sticking with that community and providing updates to those games, it's kind of cool to see. Eli, is there any of those properties or anything in general that's kind of caught your eye? Again, there's so many to count, to choose from. It's hard to keep count of all these properties, but what's one that sticks out to you?
I'm trying to think, because I've been watching a lot of, like, movies or shows recently. My time has been lots of listening to music and reading. So if I could pull a plug for the book I'm currently reading, it's called The Lincoln Highway by Amor Tulls. And you may know that name because he's the writer for a new series. I believe it's called The Man in Moscow, which is going to be airing soon. I think this book, The Lincoln Highway, would make a great, like, mini series or TV show, because it is a road trip book set in the 1950s America of just a brother who's yeah, a son who's an 18-year-old son who's just lost everything. All he has is his little brother, some cash his deceased father left him, and a Studebaker. And they're going to drive the Lincoln Highway and find out where it goes. But I think that would be a very compelling narrative and something people would want to say. Partially because, like, I wonder, because Fallout has such a 1950s aesthetic, I wonder if there's going to be this nostalgic craze that people are going to want an escapist quality. And I can think of this road trip along 1950s vintage Americana might capture the people in the same way like the Fallout New Vegas or Fallout the Fallout TV show has. I mean, they're two vastly different, you know, styles of media, but I think a lot of people like that capturing old spirits, whatever it is, even if it's in a sci-fi or a literary fiction landscape. But no, if you guys, I know it's harder to recommend a near 600-page novel compared to, you know, a TV show. But if you guys are looking for a really engaging book, then check out The Lincoln Highway by Amor Towles. It's really good.
That's actually really fitting, though, Eli, because I think that's exactly that vintageness of what Fallout offers. I think that's what's driving people who have played the game and many new players, first-time franchise players, to the games now. So I think that's absolutely a great call out. And in the fact that it's having, you said something's coming out soon, I mean, that's something to keep an eye on, because I think this year, Phil, we were really concerned with the state of movies, state of shows, and the state of games. We talked about that on several different mediums and episodes, guest features, our own episodes, right? Like, we've been preaching 2024 is going to be a tough year, and man, we are 4 months in and we are very wrong. So pleasantly. But Phil, what do you want to kind of highlight when it comes to it? Again, X-Men 97, huge. Fallout, huge. I know those are two properties you're going to try to get into potentially. What's been out there for you? Again, I know you're a big watcher of Shogun here, so I figured that might be a good one.
Yeah, Shogun is excellent. Definitely recommend that. And the series finale is actually coming up here. It's only 10 episodes, and then they're going to wrap it up. So that'll all be available to stream here very soon. Jay, I'm just like you with Fallout, where the games have never really been my bag, but I've played all of them, like bits and pieces. Of 3, 4, and New Vegas, have not don't make the dive into 76, but who knows? I mean, it's getting so much praise that as a fan of the video game medium, like, I can't ignore it. Like, I'll probably watch it once I finish Shogun. I still need to finish Mr. and Mrs. Smith, so, you know, there's definitely some stuff that I need to catch up on. X-Men 97, the thing with X-Men is, like, I never saw them in order back when they were originally out. I've always seen, like, an episode here and an episode there, so I've always been a little worried about continuity and maybe getting a little confused. But, like, again, another show that I just can't ignore. And I also want to avoid spoilers, so I want to get to that sooner rather than later. When I think about shows that could maybe make that jump into a feature, what I would love to see return, and they almost did this in live action and was going to be a disaster, and luckily it has been canceled. I would like the Powerpuff Girls to come back in a newer iteration, maybe in a cooler tie, in like an updated animated form. The Powerpuff Girls have always been a really, really, I've always been a huge fan of in terms of the style, the humor. Those characters are great, and yeah, I'm glad they axed that live action, because we didn't even get anything other than, I think, casting news and very little, like, bits and pieces, and we're like, this is going to be terrible. So I'm glad. Keep that away from live action. It can stay in animated form. I think maybe we are a little bit past this, but when I'm thinking about TV shows converting to movies, the time for it has probably passed. But Seth MacFarlane was talking about it recently. Family Guy could have had a movie, like, maybe in the mid-2000s, the same way The Simpsons had a great movie. The Simpsons movie is excellent. It's so good. And I think you could have done that with Family Guy maybe 10 years ago. That ship has probably sailed now. I mean, South Park has a great movie. So that probably could have crossed over very, very well. But unfortunately, that time may have passed. Let me ask you this, Eric. With the success of Fallout, and we're seeing video game movies being a lot more successful, how are you feeling about BioShock? Even though that's going to be a Netflix property, I mean, that is your favorite, maybe top tier gaming franchise of all time. Are you feeling a little bit better because we are getting better video game shows? And also, Netflix's track record has been a little bit more solid as of late as well.
Yeah, I mean, on the anime front, you know, they had the live-action One Piece. They put a lot of love into that. And while I wasn't the biggest fan of those episodes, I thought they were well done. There definitely was heart, and I could really see why people appreciate the work that was put in. I hope they do the same justice to BioShock. Fallout really needed that Amazon treatment that, and you know, we haven't seen The Boys, but I know The Boys is like very violent, right? There are shows like that that can only really be on Amazon. Will Netflix take it to that level of violence and imagery that BioShock offers? That's really what I am most concerned about. Because aesthetically, like Eli mentioned, if you love the Fallout aesthetic, you're going to love the BioShock one. I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic. The world and everything, even if you don't like the game, it's just something you get pulled into. I would say BioShock's not necessarily the game I'm more excited about now, but while we haven't heard anything, God of War, God of War is supposed to be on Amazon at some point. That was ordered, right? So I don't know what that future holds for that series, but if it does come, I'm a little bit more optimistic about that heading to Amazon based off of Fallout.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nice that we've turned this corner now into people actually putting, and these producers putting work in. What happened? Did I miss something?
Yeah, no. Jay
somebody just put something in the chat.
Jay just chatted me and was like, hurry the fuck up, I want to spin that wheel. Absolutely unhinged.
Oh, God. This behavior, it would be funny if in the next one he just put it in the chat. I would actually laugh. Since since the wheel is solely Eric's thing now, everything else is going great, guys.
Why is it solely my thing, though?
You're doing great, buddy. But,
because you feel very passionately nice about it, corner. So it's easy to... You know,
are very passionate.
Yeah, if you didn't care about it, it's
how can I not care about it?
Exactly, yeah.
So, well, speaking of the wheel, even though there is only one person left, we don't skim on the wheel around here. That is not something that happens. Oh, hold on. Let me turn off the volume.
No, but I want to hear Jay-Z clapping.
That's who that is.
Yeah. So, give that man credit where credit's due, obviously.
There's going to be a lot of intrigue here, Eric, as to where this is going to land, per usual.
There's some NBA lottery shenanigans going
on. One more go around. Yeah.
It could go.
This is for Patrick Ewing and the number one overall pick.
This is for who's getting Victor Wembanyama. Let's go.
Who's gonna get?
I think Jay's just trying to make these episodes longer because of what I did to him on his season six. Is that what this is? Is it revenge?
Eric, no. I would never do that to you.
Oh my God.
Are you guys ready?
I don't know. I'm scared.
Eric, I'm locked the fuck in. I'm ready.
All right. I was looking if I had like cue cards. I don't.
Why the fuck would you have cue cards? This is an episode of Saturday Night Live. What the hell's happening?
I'm having a hard time here. All right, guys. We're locked in. We're ready to go. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Spin that wheel.
That was so good.
Oh, it's Phil. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Actually, I
take Trevor Lawrence.
Can we?
What are we doing, though?
Can we actually give that another take? I didn't really feel it. My heart was. So
you want to do it again?
Yeah. Can we do that one more time? Just another take, real quick. You can edit that last one out.
I think the share screen feature is on a cooldown.
I don't think that's how that works.
You don't use Riverside. You don't know.
I do warn you. I do warn you, Eric, that Jay is union, so I think he has a right to ask you to redo that.
There you go. Oh no!
Per the collective bargaining agreement amongst podcast hosts,
yeah, based off that wall, I'm surprised he's in a union. That's all I'm
saying. Just keep going back to that wheel, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Boy. The memorabilia right. was. The amount of memorabilia was alarming.
That's just the card Eric's going to play whenever Jay says anything.
Jay, remember that wall? I'll tell him. It's not even your wall. That's the thing. I'm gonna
like listen back to this episode, man. And then it's just gonna be the one time I actually did it right is gonna be copy and pasted over every single other. Over and over. The episode's only gonna be 40 minutes long. Like,
you really have a little bit too much faith in Phil's editing capabilities
not for this
and efforts.
Not for this episode. Not for this one. No. I make sure everything is lined up at least a little bit in Audacity, and I'm like, it's probably good for the rest of it, so we can just send it out. So my story and what you guys may have missed in April actually is also pretty recent, and that is a scary movie reboot has been confirmed. So the popular horror spoof series Scary Movie is returning with a brand new film for the first time since the release of Scary Movie 5 in 2013. It debuted, of course, in 2000 and created by the Wayans family. Scary Movie took aim at the most popular horror films of the time and poked fun at many of the tropes in the genre. Hits, of course, like Scream, Blair Witch Project, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Critics were pretty cold towards it, but Scary Movie was a bona fide blockbuster and grossed nearly $300 million against its $20 million budget. Sequels were produced across the rest of the 2000s, and, you know, each Scary Movie had its bright spots, but I think we can all agree as we moved on, they got less and less solid in terms of quality. Because the film is a reboot, it's unclear if the original franchise stars like Anna Faris or Regina Hall will return. Furthermore, nothing is known about the film's story. It's unclear if the reboot aims to keep the original lowbrow tone or if it will be a more mature one with its jokes. Either way, there's a plethora of modern horror for the reboot to tackle, and details about the cast and story are expected shortly. So my question for this is, do you know, Scary Movies, those movies are in like a time capsule when it comes to film. You know, they also spawned like Epic Movie and Date Movie and unfortunately all those other terrible spinoffs. But Scary Movie in and of itself, you know, I think the first three are when they're really in their sweet spot in terms of early 2000s parody comedy. So one, do you think that this can be done correctly in 2024 without punching down and being totally lowbrow? And also, what movies would you like to see them spoof? I think there's a lot. There's so much potential when it comes to modern horror films in the last 10 years alone that they could go after. I think of just Jordan Peele films alone would be a lot of fun if they can cast the right people. So, yeah, what do you guys think? Eric, I'll send it to you first. Do you think this could be done properly in 2024? And what horror movies would be fun to spoof in a modern scary movie?
That is interesting, you know, especially considering I brought up like really, really like masterful approaches to filmmaking and things like that with Fallout and X-Men, and you followed that up with, hey, a scary movie's being rebooted.
Yeah, I love it. Listen, man, what we're not going to do is disrespect Anna Faris and Regina Hall.
Well, listen, here's what I'll tell you is for the first half of this, before we kind of theorize, I'm not very excited. I think this movie is absolutely in a time capsule and needs to stay in there because it did end up spawning the ideas that you were mentioning, like your date movies. The movie that came up to my mind, I think, was Movie 43. I believe that's what it's called. I just remember it's the one where Hugh Jackman has a ball sack on his chin. That was, and he dips it in the soup. That's when I think I realized, you know, the spoofy type of movie, I think I've outgrown it. So for me, I have outgrown it. I think we just talked about on the last episode of What Did I Miss? There are like spoofy but yet still horror movies out there, like the whole Pooniverse that they're doing with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. They're doing like an Avengers style team up leading to 2025. That was our story last month. That I can kind of vibe with. Scary Movie, though, I don't know. If they were to do it, I think they could absolutely do it on your classic films. But I just don't know if there's any, like, new horror franchises I would be interested in them kind of spoofing. You know, the horror movies that are out, like Talk to Me, Jordan Peele's Get Out, or any of the Jordan Peele movies. Like, do you really want to see a spoof of those movies? Not really. So they're going to kind of have to stick with that monster slasher type vibe. And I think we're, unless they're going to just keep doing Scream, I think we're kind of well past that. That's just my opinion, though. That's my two cents.
Really quick before I throw it to Eli, they do have the
the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever and cast Melissa Barrera in this and put her as the put her front and center in the new Scary Movie franchise and spoof Scream by the, after the just horrible way that they jettisoned her out of that franchise. They do have that, and she has expressed interest. She expressed interest on the Abigail tour that she'd do it. So, but Eli, again, as far as Scary Movie, do you have do you reminisce on these films as a fun time or just like something that would like you would see on like TNT or TBS in the middle of the day and change the channel?
I love a Scary Movie. One of my favorite film genres is the spoof parody movie. I have a whole collection of Mel Brooks movies on my shelf. That's like it's my favorite it's top five genres for me. I love those super silly spoof movies when they're done well. Like the bad ones you mentioned are among the worst movies ever made. And I'm going to disagree wholeheartedly with Eric. I not only do I want to see a Scary Movie reboot, I think we're well past the time to bring spoof back into the mainstream. I think there's so much potential to just make fun of all like the MCU stuff, all the like reboot centric Hollywood ideas. I think the entertainment landscape is due in for just getting the piss taken out of it. And I think the spoof genre is well built for that. Again, it has to be done well. Otherwise, it'll just fall flat on its face. And who knows? I mean, we see spoof every day on like TikTok and Instagram. And, you know, people are goofs on social media. And I think it's possible to bring that goof energy to the big screen. Again, the caveat is just like if it's done well. But no, for horror movies, dude, just do like an A24 parody movie. You don't need to do anything else. Just do Ari Aster. Like, just do Eggers. All the A24. I swear to God, like a third of it is just horror movies. So I think it's prime. If they could target that audience, I feel like that would be particularly good. I don't think maybe spoof doesn't have a super widespread appeal, but I think making fun of like cinephiles would be something that a lot of like hardcore movie fans would love. I think A24 fans would be so happy.
It's just one long one cut. It's one shot.
No, but it's
one shot. Did you know though? Hold on. Did you guys see? It's one continuous shot throughout the whole movie. Let me rewind it.
I would be first in line for an A24 style movie that makes fun of A24. That would be amazing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I think. Again, the whole caveat is if it's done well. If it's done poorly, then yeah, it's just not worth doing. It's going to be bad. It's going to be like you, Eric and Phil, you're totally right. Scary Movie is a time capsule, but I think we're due in for like a timely spoof movie now, if that makes sense. Something that makes fun of like the 2020s so far, because a lot of it's been whack job crazy, and I think we need something to just poke fun at it explicitly.
Yeah. Jay, what do you think? You had a little bit of reaction when I mentioned, you know, it was a movie that you kind of just glossed over. Did you ever watch any of the scary movies?
No, these were definitely not my thing for whatever reason. And so, like, seeing that there's a reboot means basically nothing to me. I do, like, enjoy Eli's idea of, like, different spoofs, like, in different areas. I mean, one thing, it's rebooting one thing that I already don't, you know, have a connection to pretty much at all. But, I mean, like, I don't know, do something original, please. Like, I mean, like, I understand it's safer, you know, go with
the
known.
Now we're past that.
I know. You go with the known, you know, IP. I think that there's plenty of material out there to be able to make fun of, like, the current cinema landscape. I'm not too tapped into, like, the scary, like, the, like, horror movies of the last decade. Really my jam. I do like the idea of like a Jordan Peele scary movie. Maybe he'll come and direct it and make fun of his own movies, because
I was gonna say
hilarious.
I think if you play your cards right, he would do it. He would totally do it.
I think that's why a lot of those bad parody movies didn't do well, is because the directors, like, the thing with parody, you make fun of it because you love it. And I feel like a lot of those bad parody movies, they're just making fun of it without any, like, emotional attachment. Like, mm-hmm. Mel Brooks, when he made Silent Movie, he loved, you know, those old style of cinema, and he did it effectively. Like, good spoof movies take a lot of hard work to pull off. And I think It's just tough because I want this genre to come back so bad, but you guys are right. It is such a timely, maybe not, you know, past its prime genre, but I held out all my beliefs that it can come back, and I hope the Scary Movie reboot does well enough to bring it back.
I do think the franchise that now comes into my mind, Phil, now that I think about it, is like The Conjuring. And like, you know how The Conjuring like has like all these extended universes? If they could bring the main actors that are in all those movies and have them in that, I could kind of see some appeal. Still not for me, but I can now justify it. So Eli, I'm there. Like, if it's done right, an occasional spoof movie is good. I think my problem is a spoof movie launches more spoof movies, and then it just gets uncontrollable. And then again, Hugh Jackman, balls on the chin. That's where we go.
That's Eric's end game, is Hugh Jackman, balls on his chin.
Sometimes I'll wake up in a fever dream, and I'll just be like, oh my god,
Eric.
Dude.
Whenever Eric is kidnapped by Spider-Man 2099 and he shows him his future, it always ends with Hugh Jackman balls on his chin. No matter what happens, that is his canon event, is Hugh Jackman balls on his chin. And Eric's just reliving that over and over again. Yeah, it's going to depend on, you know, there are too many good comedy writers right now for you to put out something that essentially, especially in 4 and 5, and epic movie and superhero movie. We didn't think about superhero movie. God, what a disaster that was. for them to put out essentially what is a Family Guy cutaway. That's the entire film is basically what was happening back then. But I think there is a space for this. Like you said, Eli, I think there's space for just good old-fashioned. I watched a stupid throwback movie recently called Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime, and it is hilarious. Did you watch it, Jay?
Wait, sorry. You like this movie?
I liked everything about John Cena. So hold on. So Zac Efron, the main character, is boring as shit. Awful. John Cena commits 100% to everything that he does, and he makes the movie enjoyable in the same way that Jason Momoa made Fast X watchable last summer. Mm. It's like, it's similar to that. But the rest of the film, terrible. But John Cena is worth price of admission.
I don't think he is. I thought this movie was just terrible. If I were to pick a bright spot, I would agree with you, and I would say that John Cena did his damnedest for sure. Yeah, but
he did. Remember those pictures like came out last summer of him in this full like schoolgirl outfit, and everyone was like, "What the fuck is going on?" Ricky Stenicki. That's where you guys will figure out what's happening.
Phil also surrounded that movie with like very painfully average movies. So like, I think he also needed that for his sanity because he watched a lot of mid to bad movies.
No, I just watched 4 movies this week, and it wasn't the best movie I saw this week. So I don't really.
Yeah, but you also had it like right underneath your top movie, so it was like right there. It was like a half a star under, you know.
There's not a lot of leeway with fucking Letterboxd. Forgive me that their scoring system needs updating. It's not my fault. I'll say this as we wrap up, and then we head into the game. If you do want to watch it's not modern because it came out in 2010, but if you want to watch a spoof comedy horror film that's excellent, it's Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and it is absolutely hilarious and definitely worth the watch. Pokes fun at all those old school slasher films, and is a lot of fun. So I want to shout that movie out. Stars Alan Tudyk and God, I can't remember. Tyler Labine. Really, really funny movie. So. Guys, no more wheel. Unfortunately, we have no more wheel. But
do we have any honorable mentions before we jump to the game?
Oh, that's right, honorable mentions. Yeah,
does anybody have one that they?
You want to mention before we get into the game?
I've been playing way too much Overwatch lately, I've always said the game is super fun, but the people who play it are not. And so once I discovered custom games and arcade mode, where the non-awful people play, I'm having a much better time. Oh,
good show. Maybe we need to jump back into Overwatch. Eric's not playing anything other than Helldivers. That's a lie.
And Baldur's Gate 3.
Are you playing Baldur's Gate 3 as much as it's playing you?
Or is autoplay playing it for you?
Yes, autoplay. Yeah, autoplay.
Honestly, it would have better results than what I'm doing. So.
I try so hard because, like, everyone else is yelling at Eric, and I'm like, Eric, is this what you mean? And he'll be like, I don't know. Like, Eric, I'm trying to help you so bad. Literally, they'll share play, and I'll be like, Eric, is this what you mean? And he just doesn't have an answer.
My brother keeps asking me, do you want to be a good guy or a bad guy? And I'm just like, yes. And he's literally telling me, you're doing good guy dialogue, but you've killed more people than all my playthroughs so far. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Eric, you're the dream, like, game tester, because you stress test all these devs. Because you're doing things nobody plans for.
Oh, for sure.
Somebody is sitting there watching, and they're like, what the fuck is this playthrough? Right, you're like an anomaly. Like, they're all getting together in a conference room and discussing what's going on with your save.
Mine are really quick. I'm just going to throw them out there. Phil, we had a laugh over this earlier, so for our audience, it was just funny to see Tesla recalling every Cybertruck over the faulty accelerator pedal. So anytime we could talk shit about the Cybertruck, we'll do that. And then the only other thing that, Phil, I think you put this in the Discord, was that there is an Old Boy TV series in the work with the original director, Park Chan-wook. Yeah. Very interested to see what happens with that Old Boy, a fantastic movie.
Family I'm film.
Very curious. Yes. Family it's on movie. Netflix. Watch it with your family. Whole family. Bring them along. Don't do that. But those are my two quick throwaway stories that we didn't get to today.
JG,
My throwaway story is City Skylines 2, a game that I picked up in Fantasy Critic last year. DLC came out this year. DLC just came out, which has been branded the worst DLC ever, period, of all games that have ever existed. And it has been rescinded from Steam, and refunds have been given. It has been that bad. This game had a terrible launch. Paradox, the publisher of the game, has been issuing statements right and left of company jargon about why this game was bad, but at the end of the day, they proved that it could make a good game in the first City Skyline, but this is just the latest example of a game that is just underbaked and was pushed out far earlier than it should have been, and it's a real bummer, because, like, this isn't a very popular game genre, and so it just takes one bad game to send the genre back into the dark ages. So it's a bummer to see.
Yeah, and Jay, you and I have a vested interest in those, in any type of builder
game. Yes.
So that's definitely not great to hear. So mine was also video game related, and that a AAA Invincible game is in development at Skybound. They started a crowdfunding that raised, I think, about $18 million in funds. They're looking to raise an additional $5 million. It looks like it is off to the races. So I'm interested to see what type of game they would develop when it comes to Invincible. Eric, I know that's obviously, you know, you couldn't get into the show, definitely wasn't your bag, but I think as far as a game, it has quite a bit of potential. I just hope it's not a fighting game. Like, you know, I don't want a Marvel vs. Capcom style Invincible game or anything like that. I would like to.
Yeah, because you'd never pick Mark. Never pick Mark.
No, I'm going to pick Omni-Man. He is our ruler and our savior, so that's what I want.
Just need to buy the latest Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I can't see any version of that game where it's fun, where you're not just a punching bag going through some type of training montage, because you're going to need it.
So My Hero Academia. Character.
That's different. And you
it's
know
not
what?
Different. It's not different. You know it's not different. You know, and I really enjoyed My Hero Academia. You know, it's not any different. Anyway,
could I one last mention story? Something a little bit more timely. I want to shout out Caitlin Clark.
Hell her
jersey,
yeah!
Outselling several NFL teams' total jersey sales from the last year. It's absolutely insane. I had a friend who is as disinterested in sports as you could possibly be, and he asked me about Caitlin Clark. So it's just so exciting. It's just incredible. I think it's super, super cool. I know I'm going to be following the WNBA, and I hope a lot of other people are going to, too.
I was
going to
say, I'll tell you this. The other night, when wrestling was on, Eric, I wasn't watching wrestling. I was watching the WNBA draft. One, I wanted the Dallas Wings to draft Angel Reese. They didn't. They had two opportunities to draft Angel Reese, and I think they passed. I wanted them to draft Angel Reese and Nika Mule. They had opportunity to get both of them. They didn't draft either one of them. Much like my Dallas Mavericks, they have drafted some overseas player I've never heard of. So hopefully that pans out in a couple of years.
Yeah, they just drafted two Lukas.
No, I don't think so.
I'm sure to work out exactly the same way.
I don't think so. But I'll also, just to shout out the WNBA, let's get Asia Wilson a signature shoe. We are certainly past that. But yeah, good shout out there, Eli, at the
WNBA talk. All right, so this is a great transition. We're going to go over the entire WrestleMania card. And that's going to be our trivia, is who won.
There we go. All right,
well,
guys.
Well, it's good seeing you guys.
All right, we want to do Buzz and Rotten. All right, I'm going to share this, and this is where you will be... Oops, hold on a second. This is where you will need your phones. I'll make this larger here in a moment as well. Are you guys... Is it pretty small on your screen, or are you able to see it? What's the...
I can see it.
Yeah, see it pretty well. Okay.
Oh, that's not bad, yeah.
Okay, does the QR code work, or do I need to send this link to you guys?
I feel like you do this every time, Phil, but I'm going to try it. Yeah, no, you're going to need to send the link.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to put it in the, what did I miss, Discord.
That'll be great.
Somebody got
That'll
in.
That'll be great.
That would be me. Ooh, I'll be broccoli. I'm such a Luddite. I didn't even notice the QR code. It didn't even occur to me to use it.
Did you just type it in?
Mm. Oh, yeah, you could also do that, Eric.
No, I want the link.
I'm going to send it to you because I don't want to put it in the... Yeah. I don't want to put it actually in the Discord. Fucking like Stefan or something will get a hold of it and be like, hey, I'm playing Jeopardy.
Surprise!
That would make Jeopardy so fun if there was a random guy who could buzz in the, like, secretly.
Yeah, it would not make it more fun. I disagree. Jay, are you captain?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Okay, you change it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I got it. Eli's broccoli. Eric, did you get that?
Yes, I am joining... Now
Eric's going to take a while to pick his character, even though it never changes. You can just pick one randomly. It's the same group of characters as it always
so
is.
So many.
Nope.
Who do I pick?
Just pick one. Just fucking pick one.
I'm going to pick this baby elephant.
Great. Fantastic.
Aww. Thank you.
All right. So... Once again, if you have made it this far into the episode, and say you have listened to it audio only, this is definitely the part of the episode where we encourage you to switch over to YouTube because, you know, so you can see the questions and everything like that. For our contestants, I just ask that you wait for me to finish reading the question before you buzz in, and we will go from there. Does everybody have buzzers on their phone, or has it not shown up yet? It might show up when I hit begin game.
Yeah, it's just gray.
Okay.
Yeah,
what about now?
No, I think the question has to come up.
Ah, okay.
Act like you've hosted this before.
I'm going to spin the wheel on my end to see who goes first.
We don't see the categories. We don't see the categories. What are we playing?
Hold on. Shut up.
I can see them.
Yeah, I can see the categories.
You can't see them? They're up here. You can't see those?
I had to change.
Should I make it bigger?
No, I think it's too big. Okay, it's fine.
It's too big now.
It's fine. I'm good.
All right. Okay. Categories are... also, Jay, you get to go first. You won the wheel. You gave so much grief to the wheel, and
objective.
Then the wheel ended up... best and worst of 2023. Sony Supremacy. Dynamite, which is all questions about Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. And
oh, my God.
Fuck yeah.
And sports ball, which is all questions about video game, sports video games. So, Jay.
I don't want to call my shot here, but I think I'm about to fucking crush this.
Hang on. I just, you have Sony Supremacy. He has a PlayStation tattoo. You have Jurassic Park questions? He has several copies of Jurassic Park. You were talking sports video games.
Eric is also a big Jurassic fan. I think Eric can maybe snag a couple of these.
I think this game is just catered to everybody except Eli.
I think I'm not. I don't think this is going to go well.
That's the only thing I care about is crushing Eli. I've already crushed Eric's spirit in this episode, so Eli is my only remaining target.
You should know you can't crush my spirit, you fool. You can't silence this laugh.
Oh, boy. All right.
Jay, how do you want to start it off?
Let's go with a dynamite for 100.
Okay. What is the name of the T-Rex that appears in the first film? Jay first.
Rexy.
Bam. There we go. Right. I forgot to turn off music for me. Actually, I'll keep it on. That's fine. All right.
So, do we buzz in as soon as the buzzer turns a different color?
As soon as I finish answering the question. Yeah, once you hear me finish asking, or asking the question.
You can you can buzz immediately though, but don't go off mute or don't shut out an answer, right, Phil?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Jay.
Dynamite for 200.
What brand is the shaving cream container Nedra uses to smuggle the frozen embryos? Jay.
Barbasol.
I don't know why there's like a delay in the picture. Barbasol.
Phil, that is the loudest ding that we're hearing.
I forgot about that. My bad.
Yeah. Watch Eli go like this.
Yeah. That is my fault.
And I heard it the first time. I was like, maybe nobody cares.
That's my bad.
We'll be in April 2028. What did I miss before Phil learns to turn the sound off?
It should be a more visible option. I'm just gonna say that. Jay, you're bored.
Dynamite for 300.
What is the name of the company that creates the dinosaurs in the Jurassic Park films? Jay.
InGen.
I'm so good.
There we go.
Jay's really fast.
You're bored?
Dynamite for 400.
In Jurassic Park 3, what does Billy steal? Eric.
I tapped it so fast. A velociraptor thingamabob voice thing. A velociraptor. Wrong. Oh, egg. Jay. A velociraptor egg.
Jay. A velociraptor egg.
Shit, I forgot about the. I thought that I was so.
You thought you were talking about the.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about too. Yeah. Yeah.
Jay, you're bored again.
Dynamite for 500.
In Jurassic World, Jimmy Buffett makes a brief cameo as a tourist grabbing two margaritas as they run from danger. Who is the other famous Jimmy that makes a cameo in the film? Jay.
Jimmy Fallon.
Can I just... I feel like Jay's pressing the buzzer before you're done talking. I wasn't even going to press the buzzer for that one, but I feel like... I saw the arrow point to his character before you're done.
I think you can press it as soon as it turns red, right, Phil?
I've never been on your side.
My understanding was that I can press the button as soon as it shows that I can on my phone. I just can't say it. I just can't say it while he's still talking. That's how
I thought it was until Phil was done talking.
Let's do it. Let's do it that way. Oh, no. So until I've finished asking the question, let's do it. We'll do it that way. Okay.
There's no way to enforce this.
There really isn't. I just have to trust you guys.
I feel like the only way is through the app itself, like when it actually goes.
Yeah, Eli, I would say when it's red. Yeah, the second it turns.
That's fine. I thought Phil said something different. I'm totally fine with that.
That's fine.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I think that, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Phil doesn't run this game.
Jay, still your boy, just like you don't run the wheel. Jay, your turn.
Sony Supremacy for 100.
Cole McGrath is the electrifying main character of which PlayStation exclusive? Jay.
Infamous. This is going to be a fast record. Sony for 200.
Insomniac Games is currently working on a game for this fan favorite Marvel character, Jay.
Do you guys not know it, or are you just not pressing the button?
I cannot physically press it faster. I don't know what you're doing. Yeah.
I beat you once, and then I gave the wrong answer because I was so flustered.
Yeah. This is Wolverine.
Oh boy. Okay.
Sony for 300.
Who is the president of Naughty Dog? Eric.
I'm pretty sure that's Neil Druckmann.
Okay.
Okay.
Eric's back.
Okay.
Oh, I thought Eric was out of the negatives, but no, not quite yet. Sorry. Eric, you're bored.
Yeah, let's go Sports Ball 100.
Which Madden cover athlete has two different covers because he came out of retirement? Eric.
That'd be Peyton Manning.
No.
I know it's not
Eli.
That.
Is it? It's not Joe Montana, is it?
No.
Why did I say Peyton Manning?
I don't know.
I don't know why
he said Peyton Manning. He was on two different teams. He didn't retire.
I get negative points if I answer wrong, right?
Yeah.
I see their scores. I'm passing.
That's crazy, Jay.
Brett Favre.
That's right. I pushed him out of my memory.
Yeah, as a lot of us should. Eric, still your board, though.
Oh, that sounds good. Sports Ball 200.
Midway Games put out some classic arcade-style sports games like NFL Blitz and MLB Slugfest. What is the name of their hockey game?
And this is a 200 question?
This is like Phil's favorite game, so that's why. He's like, this is easy.
So easy.
Because I don't want to lose points on NHL Puck. I'm going to pass.
All right. Any answers?
Mm-mm. No.
No. NHL. Oh, NHL Hits.
Hits. Oh. Ah, of course.
Not Blitz. It's Hits.
Is that Anakin Skywalker in the back?
Yeah, I think so. It was a crossover.
It
was a crossover game. He was a DLC.
You were the
character.
Chosen one, Gretzky.
Oh, God. All right, Eric. Well, still your board.
Gonna feel like I'm regretting this, but Sports Ball 300, please.
Who is the very first NBA 2K cover athlete? Eric's eyes got so wide. Eric.
I'm just going to guess Kobe. Damn, that's a shame.
Can you tell us what year this was?
It would have been 2000. Year 2000.
2000. Did you pick this because it's Dirk? I don't know this one.
Eli, any guesses?
Nope.
Allen Iverson.
Okay.
Nope.
Nope. Eric, back to you.
Sports ball for 400.
College football will return to consoles this summer, but who was the cover athlete for the last college football game we got, NCAA Football 14? Eric.
Denard Robinson. Let's go! Oh,
Jaguar legend.
Jaguar legend. Robinson. He was going to be so good.
Offensive weapon. Fun fact, that was his designated position was offensive weapon when he was drafted.
And no tied shoes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I think he. Never mind. I'll leave that part out, darker part out of what happened to him recently.
I'll
tell you guys after the episode. Eric, you're bored.
All right. Well, we're riding high. Sports Ball 500, baby.
There is one sports game in the top 10 best selling video games of all time. What is that game? I will give you guys, if you guys want a hint. Okay. Well, never mind. Jay might not need it. Jay, go ahead.
Is it Wii Sports?
Oh, it is Wii Sports.
Yes. That's a good one. I like that question.
It's Wii Sports.
That's tricksy. Yeah.
I instantly entered my brain, and then I hit it, and I was like, oh, no, it was a packing game. It doesn't count. And I panicked for a second. I almost went back.
It's like number five or number six. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely.
Jay, back to you.
Can we statistically win?
Sure.
Unless Jay bombs every final question.
Or Final Jeopardy. Sorry, Final Factile. I apologize.
Sony for 400.
How many mainline console releases are there in the God of War series? Not including PSP, Vita, DLC, or remasters. Eli.
Is it five?
No. Jay.
He said it's not five.
It's not five. Was that going to be your guess?
How many mainline console releases? I need to reread the question here. Just not in the God of War series.
I'm going to give you five more seconds.
Six?
Oh. Damn it, dude. I knew it was six. Because of Ascension.
Is the one that I forgot about Ascension. I was like, what is another game? Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, if Ascension it wasn't five, I knew there wasn't less than five. So I was like, yeah. Six?
Process of elimination.
Yeah. All right. That's what got me through high school.
The one time I clicked faster than you, I just give you a layup. God damn it.
If I had gone first, I 100% would have got it wrong.
Oh, man.
Jay. Sony for 500.
Which PS3 exclusive holds the title for the highest sales of all time? So on the PS3. So this is the highest selling PS3 exclusive.
Exclusive.
I'm going to Hail Mary and say Killzone.
No.
That's what popped into my brain first. Highest sales of all time.
I'll add these points back to you, Eli, and I'll give you guys a guess because this one is a little bit harder. So let me, I'll do that. You're still negative 500, but just so you know. think of a sim, like a simulator.
A simulator?
Like, I don't know if you can buzz back in, Eli. So if you just
I can't,
me in,
I can't okay. buzz back in.
Do you have a guess?
Oh wait, can I? Yeah, can I guess?
Go for it.
Can I say Little Big Planet?
That's why I gotta give you the negative back.
I shot my shot. As Dion Waiters right. said, I would rather go 0-30 than 0-9.
Well, you're almost at 0-30. So you're getting me. Eric, Jay, any guesses?
I'm skipping.
No, I can't afford it.
Gran Turismo 5.
Gran Turismo 5, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 5 is technically the highest grossing PS3 game of all time. But right, as far exclusive. As PS3 exclusives, it was Gran Turismo. Yep. Yeah.
3D compatible.
Back to you, Jay. You got those. You have the 3D glasses for the PS3?
Best worst for 2023.
What was 2023's game of the year at the Game Awards? Eric.
That would be Baldur's Gate 3.
Eric's back in the zeros.
Back
even. This horror film took the Worst Picture Award at the 2024 Razzies. Eli.
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Hey, look at you go, bud. Good job.
I got one. I just wanted one.
just needed one movie question that wasn't Jurassic Park.
I don't want to do my thing, my one thing. best worst all 300. Right.
This PC game was caught up in a ton of controversy for being a total scam and was shut down days after release. Eli.
The day before.
Day before.
We're all coming right. back. We're so back. We're so back. Give me 400.
All you're doing is stealing Eric's voice.
How many Academy Awards did Oppenheimer win? Eli.
8.
Oh, damn shit. It was 7. I could have sworn it was 8.
No, I was a Hail Mary. That was a pretty close guess, though.
I say 20.
That was my bad. I hit that. I definitely thought it was 8.
I said that with such confidence.
Yeah, I was on board. I was like,
I'll just
yeah,
give everybody. I fucked up there. I'll just give everybody points. We're going to put Eli
not Jay.
Back.
Well, not Jay. Well, not Jay.
I'll give Jay 300.
What the fuck is this?
Let's get everybody to where we can at least do.
I'm so sorry, Jay. Jeopardy. Sorry, Jay. Jay, is the game integrity ruined for you, Jay?
Yes.
You want to
yes,
start over?
Is, yeah. Let's that was run actually, it back.
I was expecting a full wager.
New
from
questions.
You at the end of this.
All right, last one. This iconic franchise won a Grammy for Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media. So we're looking for the name of the game that won Best Score Soundtrack for Video Games and Other Interactive Media.
In, oh, yeah, 2023, yeah. Yeah, come on, music, man.
No, I heard it.
It's going into his mind palace. Except Eli's is just a mind hut.
No, it's a mind...
Oh, Eric, sorry.
Hipster cafe.
Was it Final Fantasy?
No.
Damn.
It's a good guess.
Am I in the negative? Oh, man.
Yes.
I don't think I'm going to guess because I want to end the game positive.
Jay, you want to give that a guess?
For
for other the interactive, I guess other interactive media is probably just like part of their
category. It's just part of the title. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Don't think too much about that. What games came out last year? I don't know this one.
It was Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
I never would have guessed that.
I absolutely would not.
I'll put Eric back at 100 so you can wager $100.
Yeah.
We've never gotten through this where everybody is in the positive, so we're still waiting for that to happen. So, do you get to wager now, or is it letting you wager right now? What's it doing?
It says, I have a valid wager.
Yep, I'm going to do 100. Jay, put it all up.
It's weird. It's not letting me put letters in here. I can't put spin that wheel. Is that how that's supposed to work?
No, or? I don't believe so. No.
Oh, okay.
3,000.
3,000?
You could wager 28 and still win.
Unless you do something really stupid. You have to try to lose.
Hans Zimmer has composed some of the greatest films ever made. Which Disney classic sits as the highest-grossing film he's ever composed? So we're looking for which movie that he has composed has the highest-grossing in terms of box office.
I don't have a buzzer. It just says wait for the winner.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mine also says wait for winner.
That's fine. No, you guys will all give your... does it let you write out an answer?
No.
We've
always had to do this verbally.
I was going to say, that would be a nice feature. They should definitely add that. Okay.
I think we just all say our answers, so one at a time, and then you reveal what it is.
Let's display the wagers.
Wagered 69.
Bitch, dude. God.
Eli wagered $1, and Eric wagered it all.
How did I wager the most?
Eric, what was your answer?
The Lion King.
Okay. Eli?
The Lion King.
Jay?
The Lion King.
Well done, everybody. The Lion King is the correct answer. Who could be the winner?
I really have a lot of people to thank. You know, my parents for showing me Jurassic Park at a really young age. My PlayStation tattoo for instilling me with Sony knowledge. But I think primarily I want to thank Phil for catering this quiz for me. So I appreciate that.
Oh,
and my butt mashing skills to press the button faster than Eric.
Phil, is this like the playlist where it's either volume or like accuracy or quantity or whatever? Did you just like in the feedback of improving the questions, did you just completely forget to check your audience on like the categories?
I felt like you could have gotten some of the Jurassic questions.
Because Jay was a fucking mad man.
You also said Velociraptor noise thing.
I'm a little bit salty. I misheard the rules. I waited for you to finish talking. That's my fault, but I'm a little bit salty. He did finish second.
So I
really wanted the chance to just one up Jay. That would have been so satisfying about Jurassic Park, just the salt levels. I just wanted that.
Well, when we run it back after Super Ragga Bros Season 7, what did I post? What did I miss? I'll cater the questions. I'm sorry I didn't put the Lighthouse category in there. I should have rolled with it.
I'll
give one category to everybody just so we can at least end in the positives. So that's what I need to start doing.
There you go.
Eric's category will be whiny My Hero Academia characters, and it'll be one answer for all five.
I don't know where all this My Hero slander came from.
Your wall? Where it came from. It looks like All Might threw up on it.
And
you couldn't have. You got it. You should. I know you have more variety, but it's like off camera, so it's like not. But what we see is All My Hero.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good, I think.
Jay, Eli, thank you for putting up with this madness and for coming on what I knew was going to be a really fun time. We appreciate you bringing the stories and for participating in the game. So one more time, either one of you, let us know about Super Bracket Bros or anything else you want to plug while we before we get out of here.
Eric, get All Might out of here.
Why is that the second time you've brought All Might into What Did I Miss? You've done that before. He's not even here. He's getting another Funko.
Sorry.
Jay, you were about to.
Yeah. Super Bracket Bros, man. It's a pretty good show. You should listen to it sometime. We're in the middle of season 6. I'm working hard on it, I promise. And we're doing fun, cool things. Come hang out with us while we play some tabletop RPGs and breaking them completely, not playing them the way that they were meant to be by forcing our guests to take place in a 1v1 combat against each other. It's a good time. Lots of laughs, lots of goofs. Definitely come over and visit Super Bracket Bros. I'll plug something interesting that me and Eli are doing outside of Super Bracket Bros next month. I volunteer at a local radio station called WRTFM, and they do a public access hour where they'll just let anybody on the radio and talk about whatever they want for an hour. And me and Eli have signed up to do a music show. And so we are bringing, we're calling it Internet Back on the Radio. So, you know, you've been getting your radio on the internet for all these years, but we're taking the internet and putting it on the radio. We're taking content creators that make music that are primarily found on YouTube, Twitch, and via podcasts. And we're taking that music and we're putting it on the radio waves, and you can listen online, even if you don't live in the Madison, Wisconsin area. That's going to be Memorial Day. So come listen to us live at 7 p.m. On Memorial Day. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I've had a lot of fun putting together the playlist with Eli, who's, if this episode is evidence of anything, knows much more about music than I do. And is very good at talking.
It's just an hour and 18 minutes of Cowboy Carter.
Well, it's crazy. The first pitch Jay pitched to Wart was just us talking about Jurassic Park for an hour. They said no.
Yeah, they counteroffered. They said, we'll let you on, but you do have to do something that's interesting to more than three people. So, come
love
you
that.
Tune in live. Yeah.
Yeah. We if you guys are fans of Brian David Gilbert, we're going to be playing a bunch of his music. Worthy Kids, a popular animator, Louis Zong, some of our favorite YouTube comedians, essayists, Twitch streamers, podcasts, people who make music for podcasts. So, yeah, it'll be a great way to find out more content creators and musicians you might be a fan of. I know we discovered a few new favorites in this one, and we're really happy to share it with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Is this an hour in which you can take phone calls? Because I think somebody in here might want to call and sabotage that 1 hour.
we can, but I will be behind the board, and so I will reserve the right to
If you
deny.
See a 904 number come up,
yeah.
Do not answer it. Don't answer
yeah,
it.
Absolutely not.
Don't answer it.
2024, yeah. Baby, you can make a number out of thin air. I got you.
That's true. Yeah.
Man, we just got caller ID on the new boards we got at the station, so I'll be able to I'll see that from 1,000 miles away.
Do you have a producer that will screen the call, like whenever you call into a radio station and they ask like, what do you want to request first, so you don't go on there and be like, fuck her right in the pussy, like
that's me. That is my job. That is gonna be me. Yeah, so you will talk to me, I will recognize your voice, and I will hang up, Eric. So
I'll just have like a voice modifier, and then I'll also turn it into that meme where it's like, hello, I have a question. Do you know about John Cena?
Let's talk about WWE Super Slam. Do you support our troops? Well, then you should support John Cena when he faces off against The Undertaker.
It's just going to be an hour of that.
Boy, what a... What a dated corner of the internet that is.
I want that added. I want that added in Poseville.
I'll put it in. I'll put it in. I got you. I got you. Well,
he's going to spend 15 minutes editing this episode, and that's going to be what he does.
Yeah.
Well, that in your wall.
Yeah, leaving all the slander about Jay's wall.
Yeah, that in the wall. That's right. Yeah, that in Jay's wall, which, yeah. Mm-hmm. Eric, just to get off topic really quick before we wrap up, Chris Jericho just won the FTW championship from Hook, and please retire is trending on Twitter. So Chris Jericho still going strong, ruining, not putting over younger talent. That is that's our wrestling segment for What Did I Miss April 2024. But everybody, find everything you need in the show notes of this episode. We'll make sure that all of Super Bragger Bros links is there so you can keep up with everything that they are doing. And of course, the Way Forward podcast. Keep up with us over on social media. The most important ones being our growing Discord community, TikTok. We just started Twitch streaming, which has been a lot of fun. And of course, Instagram. You can also support the shows a couple ways. You can give Super Bragger Bros and the Way Forward podcast 5 stars, nothing less, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It helps tremendously when it comes to all that algorithm crap, and we would very much appreciate it. You can also share the episode, tag us, let us know that you're listening. That all goes a very, very long way. But if you find yourself wanting to maybe support the show a little bit extra, going that extra mile, Eric will let you know how you can do that.
Yeah, so you have all your free options, of course. You know, you've got your Discord where we're continuing to grow that community. But if you want to go beyond and go a little bit extra, you can go directly to our Buzzsprout page, or you can go to our Patreon and become a supporter like Briar and Stefan, who in exchange for their support are getting behind the scenes and early access to episodes like this one. But if you can't go that extra mile, that's okay. The likes, the comments, the shares, the listens, the engagement, all of the above is very much appreciated from us and our guests when you go to visit their show. With all that being said, we have reached the end of our episode. My name is Mr. Eric Almighty. That is my co-host, Phil the Filipino, and our guests, Eli and Jay from Super Bracket Bros. Please don't forget, on our podcast, we release episodes every Wednesday with the bonus content you can find on TikTok. And all you got to do is
wait. Spin the wheel.
No.
What a snipe. Oh, my God. Jay Davis out of nowhere.
So, I heard you're looking for a go-to source for entertainment.
Wait for it.
Gaming?
Wait for it.
Anime?
Plus Ultra!
Mr. Eric Almighty and Phil the Filipino?
Yeah, they've got you covered. And all you gotta do is wait for it.
This is the Wait For It podcast.